You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Māori are underrepresented in local government. While the Māori seats address representation in Parliament, there is no such guarantee of Indigenous representation at the level of local wards and councils. One major barrier stands in the way of establishing Māori wards and constituencies. Under the Local Electoral Act, 5% of local voters can trigger a binding referendum if their council tries to create a Māori ward. This provision does not exist for general wards and constituencies. While iwi, hapu and community groups have overwhelmingly been in favour of establishing such wards, there have been well-funded campaigns against them. 8 out of 9 previous attempts to establish Māori wards have been shut down by this process. There are 2 petitions concerning this issue, one from Action Station and another from Te Rōpū Tō Toko Māori, a Whakatāne-based group advocating for Māori wards in their district council. They have amassed 10,000 signatures asking Parliament to make the process of establishing Māori wards for councils the same as that for establishing general wards, that is, scrapping the referenda provision. Tomorrow, both these petitions will be presented to Labour MP Tamati Coffey, Labour's Kiritapu Allen, Māori Party co-leader Debbie Narewa Packer, and Green Party co-leader Marama Davidson are also expected to be in attendance. I spoke to Tony Boyden from Te Rōpū Tō Toko Māori about the wards and the questions that their establishment and the referenda provision against them pose for local government, for the policies that emerge from it, and about Te Tiriti obligations. I started by asking her about the organisation's origins and their mahi.
So back in 2017 in Whakatāne, the Whakatāne District Council resolved to support the establishment of Māori seats. And then from there, we called a community to find out about those who were willing to support Māori wards being established and that decision of the council. And from there, we had a group of people formed who really wanted to go about making sure that people had good information about Māori wards, and also too was to try and deter the petition. Unfortunately, that carried on and we had to go to referendum, and we had a huge effort within the community, support from all across the board to be able to vote yes in that referendum. We just missed out. We were so close, but we weren't able to get it over the line in terms of getting a yes vote, but we did have the closest margin in the country. And so from there, we wanted to look at ensuring that we looked at ways in which we pushed for the change of legislation, which was to remove the ability to petition, because it only affects the establishment of Māori wards. No other ward can be affected by this.
Whakatāne is 43% Māori. Does the makeup of local government reflect this diversity?
So that's part of the difficulty, because when the council decides and makes that decision for Māori to be able to have a voice in council or to be able to have input into the decision making, unfortunately the petition that then allows other people to decide whether or not that Māori voice should be heard. So depending on the population, the majority of the time Māori population is a lot lower in the general population, it's very hard for us to win a referendum.
Across the country where these referenda have been initiated, there's been quite fervent opposition against establishing these wards. What groups are behind this opposition, generally?
So from what we know, in 2018, we understood that Hobson's Pledge had a very large campaign, up to $250,000 campaign against the establishment of Māori wards. They had a lot of resources and obviously time to be able to put in that. And it's quite sad. There's sort of, you know, a group that I suppose has a very limited view in terms of what the treaty partnership is and how that relationship is meant to work. They sort of turn it into kind of race-based seating, when really, it really is about treaty partnerships, treaty-based seats. So for a long time, Māori haven't had that same equity in the decision-making process, although that was part of the treaty agreement. The treaty itself allowed settlers here to settle. there's part of the relationship that hasn't quite happened for the other party. And so part of being able to have the voice in local government is to be able to assure that that same due respect is met.
So as you mentioned, iwi, hapu and community groups, that is those who are affected by this decision, were in favour of establishing Māori wards. What danger is there in having minority rights be subject to majority rule?
Well, the danger is, and what we've seen, is that there's a lack of that representation in communities. And the representation part is really about having that voice of the land, a voice of the people who have actually lived in those districts for over 1,000 years. So who better to know the land, the water, and what happens with the land than the people who've been there the longest and who originate from there? And that's a really important voice that's missing at our decision-making table, particularly now when we see the effects of climate change, when we see the changes in legislation and regulations in terms of sustainability requirements for councils, when we see the upgrades that councils have to make in terms of our wastewater systems and drinking water systems. There's a voice there that has a knowledge base that's been around for a long time to actually help and assist in a lot of the problems that are there today, to do with our environment, to do with better relationships within the community, so that solutions from the community and from the ground can actually speak at those council tables.
So it's not just about representation, although that's very important, it's that better representation also leads to better policy.
Definitely, and better policy means better decision-making. It also means better democracy for everybody. You know, there's nothing to lose from having Māori sitting at the table, because Māori have a vested interest in ensuring that everyone is looked after, that the land is looked after, that our water and resources are looked after for our children and for our grandchildren, because ultimately that is part of the Māori world view, is to ensure that we look after everyone and that we look after those who are still yet to come, and that there is a resource that can keep us healthy, that can keep us continuing on. So if we have a healthy environment, we have healthy people and we have healthy lives.
That this law that allows referendums to be triggered only applies to Māori wards just kind of seems prima facie discriminatory. Does the government have obligations under Te Tiriti to amend this?
Yes, so one of the obligations is under Article 3, which is part of being able to participate in the governance of the people and lands, and also in decision-making. It also affects United Nations Declaration of Rights of Indigenous People in Article 4, which also emphasises the same thing, that Indigenous people will be able to have an input into the decision-making and participate in the decision-making process when it comes to the governing of their lands and people. So there is, and has been around for a long time, those long-standing things that highlight the discrimination that is happening with this particular law. Now, out of the 9 referendums that have been held since this law came in 2001, there's only been 1 district council, which is Wairoa District Council, who has been successful in winning a referendum, and that's mainly because they have a high population of Māori. I don't know whether when that legislation was established, that part was meant to be in there, but it's a hook that sort of stopped that voice from being heard, and we need it removed. For a long time, Māori has not been represented. Over 180 years, we haven't been represented in a Māori worldview at the table of those decisions.
Democracy kind of justifies itself as being a participatory system, but engagement with local government politics is generally quite low. Would the establishment of Māori wards increase engagement and therefore strengthen democracy?
I mean, I believe that it would. It is a start. I don't believe it's the end all be all, because there are multiple levels in which changes need to be made so that the voice is heard at different parts. We need to ensure that we don't get into situations where Māori wards or having Māori seats is either or kind of situation of you have this, so therefore you can't have these different things, which might be iwi partnership models which allow for representation in particular committees to give advice in those committees, but also to have Māori wards alongside that to ensure that at the decision-making table there is representative sphere to represent the Māori worldview and perspective. You know, we've got a part of our community who has disengaged for a long time because there is a mistrust in terms of the processes and things that have happened with local council, and there is a disengagement there when it comes to voter turnout because so many things have happened in the past, and so there is a disengagement. Having Māori in council and sitting at the table with that perspective then allows our younger generation and our rangatahi to be able to see themselves reflected in the leaders of the community in the decision-making process, and then hopefully see that when decisions are made, how they view the world is also reflected and valued in those decisions. And that goes a huge way, not only in terms of Māori then being able to regain trust in a key part of their community, but also to for young people or future generations to be able to know that they are valued in their community and that they are seen in positions of value in the community.
Did you have anything that you wanted to add?
What I really want to add is that we have 9 districts at the moment who are going through the Māori wards process. And, you know, a big congratulations to all those district councils who have taken the brave step to say yes to Māori wards. So if that is your district, get in behind and help those who are leading the campaign there to support them, whether you can volunteer there at your time, whether you can support them on social media, whether you can support them with donations towards their campaign. We really need to support those who are coming from a very grassroots level to be able to ensure that if they do go to referendum, that people are informed, their community is well informed, and that the community votes yes for Māori wards.
That was Tony Boyden from Te Rōpū Tō Toko Māori speaking about the need for Māori wards and the barriers to establishing them.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.